Chris, I wasn't planning on starting our conversation this way, but I was noticing Purdue is requesting that Coach Jeff Brohm, the head coach, who was under quarantine due to COVID-19, have a phone during the game, during their Big Ten opener. I'm just guessing they're not going to get that approved, but has anybody else requested something similar that you know of?
Well, we haven't had...
Not many.
No, I'm not aware of, to be honest with you. I don't know if anybody's requested. We haven't had that many.
Right. Jay Norvell's probably, or Coach Norvell, sorry, is the most notable.
Norvell and Nick. Yeah. Nick was,
Coach Mike.
You know, when he was out for a couple of days, I'm sure that they were looking into that as to whether that would be possible or feasible. But, and that's one of the things, you know, that having these type of issues covered is something that's a little bit new in this situation. But, I can tell you that I don't see any way that's going to happen.
I got a call right before the top of the hour break. And again, maybe not where I planned on going, but this Ole Miss Auburn game, Auburn looks a little unstable right now. Am I reading too deeply into this?
No, they're playing very frustrated football. And, you know, the issue is a few things. They have no real identity. So their defense is not able to stand up and kind of carry them for a series or two and get them off the field as much as they normally do. And they lost a lot of players there. They have no consistency with the run game. And so they're trying to become more pass game oriented. And it's not working. I mean, they don't really, you know, Chad has done a good job in his career, but, you know, as they're trying to hang their hat on the pass game, they've not had as much time. Well, nobody said the offseason to do it, but I think in this case it's really hurt them. So when you look at them, they have no sophistication in their passing game, and they're trying to hang on it to a whole lot. And then, you know, Bo Nix is trying to put it all on his shoulders. Well, when that happens, all you do is you get mistakes and you get turnovers like it was last week where it was really a disaster for them. So, and that's leading to frustration, you know, and you hear the sidelines, people, what, they're fighting? And, well, they're fighting because, you know, well, you're supposed to be running the post corner. No, I was supposed to. I read this. That's what happens when people say not on the same page, you're not reading it the same way, and there's just not enough clarity to what you're supposed to be doing. And it doesn't really matter if the quarterback knows it, if the receiver doesn't know it, and making side adjustments. So they're definitely having a problem. And the difficulty is going to be, and Ole Miss played very poorly offensively last week. I mean, just sloppy, out of rhythm, turnovers, poor in the red zone. But I would expect them to rebound this week. And if they get some early points, Auburn trying to play from behind is a bad formula, and this could get really ugly. But this is why I think it's an important game, because the storyline here is about Auburn and Gus, because we're several years into that whole everybody's frustrated with Gus talk.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, will let you know how you can get all of his information. Tennessee's an interesting story. The offense has imploded. The quarterback situation continues to be controversial. And I don't understand the timing of this. Of course, I'm not there every day, Chris, but they run off their somewhat newly hired defensive line coach. Kind of weird. What's going on there, in your opinion?
Well, Jimmy Brumbaugh's situation had anything to do with the game Saturday or the play of the defensive line. It's more of, and I think this is important to identify this, is there are problems there in terms of lack of harmony on the staff, lack of vision of what we need to be doing overall. You know, Jimmy was hired mainly because their defensive coordinator had a close relationship with him, as did Jeremy. And for this to go sour that quickly, it is because they're not seeing things the same way overall as a program. That's the most concerning thing. Because, look, you can fix certain problems on the football field. If you're not in agreement in how it needs to be fixed, that's a big problem. So that's the biggest concern there. And, you know, it's not, well, the defensive line's not, well, that's not issue. It's the problem as is perceived by the head coaches. You know, we're not seeing things the same way. And when that happens, the head coach always wins out. The issue there is, we've seen it with coaching hires with Jeremy, and that's been a problem with him, by the way. He's not being able to identify the right type of people that are the fits for him. Look, there's not good or bad. It's a lot of good fits, and he hasn't been able to identify the right fits for him. I mean, he's run off. Guys have left, you know, quite a few of them, and in this case, this is a sign of one of the crucial decision-making process of a head coach is identifying the proper fit from an assistant coaching standpoint. And so that's a real concern there. Look, Jeremy's trying to build a program like Georgia, and, you know, you can only marginalize the quarterback position so much. It's great to be able to try to focus on recruiting, and you have to do that regardless which style you're running. But the running game and the great defense, but you've got to be able to score some points. And in order to do that in today's football, you have to have enough balance. If you're so run-oriented that you're not as good in the passing game and people can slow down your running game, you've got nothing you can hang your hat on. We've seen that with Georgia at the highest level, and at Tennessee, they're not nearly as good as Georgia. So that's how you get run out of a game against Kentucky. When you turn the football over and you get 14 points, now you're behind. And I don't think they're doing a particularly good job. The quarterback is very limited, and you got to know what you have there. And I think some of the play calling is asking that quarterback to do things he's not capable of doing. So they've got some issues there. I expect them to fight and play hard, but, you know, it'll get ugly this week, obviously, who they're playing.
We've got a couple of games of data, Chris, but this Alabama offense – is it too early to hyperventilate by comparing it to last year's LSU team or a couple of years ago, the Alabama Tua offense?
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, it's too early, yeah. I mean, but at this point,
yeah,
it's every bit as good. There's no discernible weakness in studying them on film. The offensive line is outstanding. They can run outside zone. They can run power. They've got great receivers that can make plays after the catch and beat you deep. They can attack you in man coverage with crossers, in zone coverage. They do a great job of sitting and facing and working back to the quarterback. So it is, as we saw it last week against Georgia, their defense on the field too much and just got torched, you know, by an offense that's just better. And the other thing is the quarterback is not only accurate, but the best thing he's doing is his poise under blitz pressure. He is setting the protections. He is not getting rattled at all. When they will slide and leave a guy unblocked purposefully to get, knowing that the ball's got to come out extra quick, he's doing a really good job. And on top of all of that, it is not all about talent. They have great scheme and great way to attack you. So it is the entire package. We need to see over the entire season if they stay healthy and put up all the numbers. But to this point, it's got every element that you want offensively.
Chris, you just touched on it. I was about to ask you or suggest – Sark is having a very good year, isn't he?
Absolutely. And people, well, it's easy to have a good year with all that talent. No, it's not. I mean, it's easier. You can do a lot of things, but look at what he's done. Look at the touchdown that they got Georgia flipped up on. That was great play design out of the bunch set that got Georgia crossed up. They do a great job of not just calling plays, but it is teaching. The ability, the teaching route running, the ability to be able to identify and sight adjust with receivers being able to understand coverage and to stem the routes. Like, it's the biggest thing that jumps out. So I'm, you're watching tape and you're saying, well, what's the difference, you know, in theory of, say, a Georgia offense and an Alabama offense, where everybody would say, well, the quarterback. Well, yeah, the quarterback's one of it. But when you're watching Georgia's passing game, you're seeing, like, Georgia had a touchdown called, and I thought they had some good play design in that game. But there's a post corner that's just not as sharp to the corner. And it's all about milliseconds, and they just weren't real sharp. Alabama has all those things down to a T. So they've got more talent, more explosive talent, more reliable pass-catching talent, but they're so well-coached in the passing game. They're so well-coached in the run game that combination with the talent there's not a defense that's going to have a lot of success. They're just going to have a bad day, and I think you got to pick your poison, and I think you need to play a lot of zone, and you got to do the best job you can limiting the run after the catch, because that's, you know, you make them go on 8-play drives, 10-play drives, maybe there's a tip ball or something bad happens, but they'll beat you over the top if you're going to play it aggressively. Man, they are really, really tough.
Chris, got a couple minutes on the other side?
Absolutely.
Okay, more Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. I'll let you know how you can get all of his information. He's adding to it every day, college and pro. Nothing more thorough than what Chris does, I can promise you that. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Arena of Ideas is now open for your telephonic interactions. 615-844-5600. The Bill King Show.
Chris Landry with us. LandryFootball.com will let you know how you can get all of his info. We were talking about this a little bit last hour, Chris. Big Ten play starts Friday night, full slate on Saturday. Will it be kind of sloppy like we've seen this year? Tackling wise, etc. And game ones any year, I guess, can be sloppy. I understand that. But maybe because of protocol not even being as physical as you typically would be in practice.
That's what I'm anticipating. And it's just normal. It's right. Just really abnormal to be sitting here. And it's almost, we're closing into November. And it's just weird that it's the first week. And, yeah, it is something that is important. You know, everybody will think about it, and I've thought about this, not just week one, but, you know, you get into the season, you get, you know, we've got, let's say, by example, like 4 weeks of SEC ball, and gradually you're starting to see some of the identity of the teams. By the time they start to figure out their identity in the Big Ten and the Pac-12, it'll be like, and we're going to wrap it up this week, you know? I mean, it's not – It's going to be interesting to see, and everybody just thinks that, well, you know, they're going to be fresher at the end of the year. That's true, but maybe you not have accomplished all of the things that you want in terms of getting all your packages in. So, no, I think it's going to likely be a little sloppy, but everything's relative, and, you know, like we said before, at least we got football. So it's going to be interesting to see. Got some interesting games that it kind of worked out, hadn't it? The SEC slate is not as stellar as it normally is, and the Big Ten, you know, kind of gets center stage this weekend.
Coach G up in Wisconsin, he's a big Badger fan, says, ask Chris what the term running back by committee means. We're not familiar with that in Wisconsin. He says, I'm not sure why the Badgers are getting all the preseason rankings without an All-American running back. Lost our best receiver to the NFL. We've got a brand new quarterback, and our best linebackers are now playing on Sunday as well. Chris.
Well, as you know, I'm sure that was question was in jest. Of course it is.
Right.
Having multiple backs that, you know, it really is identifying that you don't have your feature back, but also depending upon your offense, you have somebody that's maybe a little bit more fit on early downs and some that's a little bit more fit on third downs. My view is I always wanted a feature back that had more versatility because you kind of are dictating by personnel on early downs. If you've got the runner that's a good blocker, you're kind of tipping off that you're probably going to be more running on early downs. And then, obviously, on third downs, that guy got to be a good pass protector. And so I wanted to have, in by committee, I wanted to have guys that were versatile. So I wasn't dictating from a personnel standpoint. Look, Wisconsin does develop. They recruit good backs, but they develop it very well because they develop the running game well. So that is the reason why they always have good backs, because they have good line play, good line men, and that creates a lot of good run creases, and that's why they have them. It's like great passing teams usually develop good receivers, quarterbacks. Wisconsin is a running back factory, and when you do that, you can tend to get good backs, even though they may not be the highest graded star guys. They usually get really good ones that are good downhill guys that can hit the hole hard, get to and through the hole quickly, and then they have build-up power that can get you good second-level yardage with speed and quickness.
Jason says, Bill, ask Chris, is it possible that Tennessee can run the ball well enough to stay in the game versus Alabama?
I think it's going to be very difficult. I think it comes down to defensively. Yeah, I mean, you can run the football for a quarter or two, but if your defense gives up explosive points to that offense that we just talked about last segment, well, what are you going to do down 17-0 in the third quarter? You're not running the football. That's what happened last week. So the answer to that question is, A, you have to play a clean game if you're Tennessee. You can't help the cause. I think they're going to want to run the football, absolutely. But how long can they stay engaged in the game? Look, they were in the game against Georgia at halftime. Why? Because, A, they made a couple of big plays, but B, Georgia wasn't able to explode on. And, you know, so as long as it's a one-possession game, then you can stay committed to the run, and you can have some modicum of success in the passing game because you're running it through the run game. Even if you're not running play action, you can manipulate numbers in the box that way because you're having success running and you're committing to running. You're not fooling anybody when you're down 17 or 21 points in the second half. You're throwing it first, and that's where the game could separate and likely will. So I wouldn't hold off a lot of hope that they'll be able to run for very long. But if their defense can hold up somehow and Alabama plays sloppy football, then that'll allow them to run the football longer. But I wouldn't count on it being that successful. But I wish it will.
Coach Marshall says, ask Chris, will a couple of weeks off help or hurt Vanderbilt against Ole Miss a week from Saturday?
Oh, Lord, Coach. It depends on how many novenas they can say in a couple of weeks.
Right.
That's a mess there. I don't. Look, there's always the chance with the week off you can regroup. I don't think it's ideal to have that extra time now, but this is not a very good Vanderbilt team. I know Coach sure knows that. I think what you can do is spend extra time. I mean, I think you got to try to frustrate Ole Miss. It's what Arkansas did very well. But if Ole Miss is sharp, then it's going to be an ugly game in which they'll be able to score a ton of points. I will say this. I think you can run the football on Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss has played good situational defense or better last week. But I don't know that Vanderbilt will be able to take advantage of that Ole Miss defense enough. I just don't think they'll be able to match points regardless how much time they got to prepare.
What about Florida's situation?
Oh, man. That's a mess because you got now a big layoff, and I know that they had the upset in A&M, and, you know, imagine if they had won it and it'd be unbeaten. I mean, it's kind of like it's almost a derailment of a season. It is now enough to where you're going to have to really work some semblance of like a mini, and I'm talking a mini training camp. You're going to have to get your guys timing, and I mean, it is like a huge, and offensively, they're so explosive. They're relying upon that, and that's where your timing can be lost. So it's just a mess. You don't know, who you're playing, when you're playing. It's not going to be able to get back until Monday at the earliest. That is definitely the team that, at least among the upper echelon, that's probably had their season disturbed to the point where it's going to be tough to overcome it. We'll see how it plays out. I just don't know how you deal with it right now.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Penn State at IU. Does that have a chance?
Yes, it does. I think it has a chance to be a really good game. I think that Indiana will be able to move the football. I think they've got Villiers, a really good receiver. I think they've got a very tough offensive scheme to prepare for. I think they'll play well, and I think they'll give Penn State the run for their money. In fact, I got the breakdown up on Landry Football, and I do think it's going to be a pretty close game. It is the most intriguing game of the entire Big Ten. I mean, I want to see everybody play well. That in Michigan, Minnesota, I will say. And then outside of that, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, and a little bit Cincinnati, SMU. But Penn State, Indiana is in that upper echelon of intriguing games for me. I think Penn State will win it, but I think it'll be a challenge.
Chris, tell everybody about all your information they can get.
And LandryFootball.com is the hub. That's where you can find our TV network on Twitch, which is really taking off big time. We've got affiliate status and partner status with those guys. So we've had, you know, with some of the changes we made on the shows, it's really kind of kicked us up in high gear. So we're really excited about it. You got football programming. I'm getting ready to do a podcast at 9 a.m. Central, the Landry Football Podcast. You can check that out. We've got the SEC podcast, one for every conference. I got my Scouts Eye podcast, so you can catch all of that. You can catch it in podcast form as well if you can't watch it live. And then, obviously, the hub of what we do is take you inside the film room, break down these games, break down the players, the teams, the coaches, the schemes. We give you how the players graded, how the teams graded going into the games and the previews, and then after the games, we grade them on film and how it graded out. So you want to know in detail why they're having problems with the offense at Tennessee or in Auburn, or why this is happening. We kind of go in and tell you what the film says. So it's like having your own scouting department or coaching department for less than $10 a month. Actually, it's less than $5 a month if you take advantage of the year membership. So check it out today, LandryFootball.com. You're going to love it.
Fantastic as always, Chris. Appreciate it, man.